What a beautiful song. What a perfect song for today. I got to hear them practicing, and I was looking forward to hearing them singing this song this morning, man. Just as beautiful, just as beautiful. All right, take the word of God and join with me in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, over there almost in the middle of your Bible in the Old Testament, we see this wonderful book written by the hand of King Saul. Every verse is practically a sermon in and of itself. And so much comes out of it. We're going to look at a verse today that does pertain to things that we're celebrating today. And I want to give you three thoughts about fatherhood with just a little bit of time that I have here today. And I hope you'll tune in and listen. All of you watching on Facebook, I know many of you are homesick and some of you are traveling. We miss you today, but we hope you're having a great time where you're at. We hope you're enjoying the live feed service. Brother Martin, we're praying for you, buddy. Looking forward to seeing you again. I know you had your treatment start this week. Brother Chuck, we're praying for you as well. All right. Proverbs 23. What a great day we've had. Amen. I'll give you a quick word from the word, though, here. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 24. We're going to read 24 through 26. Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for what we've seen and heard today, what we've observed. Lord, we thank you for what today represents, Father's Day. Lord, I pray that today you can use me as an instrument in your hand as we look at the sanctity of this day and what it's been set apart to accomplish, what it's been set apart to celebrate, to bring honor to bring a spotlight upon. And Lord, I believe it's worthy of it. I believe it's a great calling, a great gift to be a father. A great responsibility, yielding a great burden. But at the end, we see in the Word of God that it can bring about great joy and rejoicing. And Lord, I pray that today I can be used to just shed a little light on this thing called fatherhood. And help the fathers that are in this room as they do this day-to-day task. As they fulfill this calling in their life that was granted to them by your blessing hand. Lord, I pray that we'll rise up to it, step up to it, and accomplish it well. Now, Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know you as their Savior, what a gift it would be today if they could get to know you as their Savior. Not just to them, Lord, but also to our entire church family, if we could witness this new birth. A person that comes to know you as their Savior is a wonderful day of celebration. We see that it literally causes the angels of heaven to rejoice, and we rejoice with them. So, Lord, today, if there's anyone in the room that doesn't know they're going to heaven, what a great day it would be if they would come to know you as their Savior, and on Father's Day, come to know you as their heavenly Father. What a thing they'll cherish and remember for the rest of their lives. Now, Lord, I give this time to you, and I ask you to honor it and sanctify it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Father's Day. It's a very special day set aside to honor the position of fatherhood. It's a day that we push to the forefront the role of being a dad and what that means and what that requires. And I want to give you three quick thoughts today as we seek to highlight the role of being a godly father. I want to point out three realities of the position of being a father. Now, I am reminded today of a statement I heard when I pastored in the inner city of Central Florida. A wise, older pastor who had lived in that area his entire life. He was an African-American preacher whom I had invited to preach to our congregation. He stood in my pulpit to speak. He had lived in this portion of the community and grew up there. He had seen what Satan had done to the homes of this community. He had seen child after child grow up in a fatherless home. He had seen what the absentia father had done to the daughter that had no father to love her and protect her. He had seen the young man without the vital mentorship of a present and available father. He had seen the son turn to gangs and bad crowds. He had seen the fatherless boy grow up and not know character, not understand work ethic, not possess integrity. And he had seen these young men grow up without any knowledge on how to treat a precious wife. And he spoke to the men of our church on the virtues of being a godly man. And he said this, he made this statement, all those years of watching this in the community, he made this statement, I wrote it down. He said this, any boy can become a dad, but it takes a man to be a father. And to that I say amen. Today we want to herald and applaud the boys that grew up to become men and fulfill the role of a good, godly father. And I want to make three observations at this point, one at a time, as we look at the importance of fatherhood and some realities about it. And the first statement I want to make out of the three is simply this: a father is important. Say that with me this morning. A father is important. Let's say it again. A father is important. The first proof I want to make of that statement is that it requires a father for there to be a child in the first place. You will not ever conceive a child unless you're the Virgin Mary, and I suspect you're not, without a father. He is an essential part of God's plan in the equation of creating a life on this planet. A father is important. It takes a father for there to be a child. He has to be there. He has to be a part of this equation. He is a component that cannot be skipped, cannot be removed. He is absolutely necessary to be there for there to be a child. His role in marriage is important, and if he falters to do what his role is, the life that he helped create will stagger and struggle in life. So often, it seems, in our daily culture, modern day culture, it seems that the dad is cast in a light that shows him always to be ignorant, always shows him to be immature and foolish. It seems like in our TV shows and the sitcoms of the modern era, that father is usually the irresponsible one, the insensitive one, the overgrown boy who never takes anything that serious and never really does anything that good. We've seen all these sitcoms and shows that paint that light of fatherhood. And we laugh at it. Sometimes it's funny, and sometimes that art can mirror real life. But for the most part, in those portrayals, we fail to see the importance of fatherhood. We see this in the humor and presentations of the modern family, where the father is usually an idiot who can do very little on his own and can't really seem to have any advice or wisdom. We are long gone from the days of Father Knows Best. Yet I want to say that being a father is important, and you must do it well. You must take it seriously. You must approach it with a grave sincerity to do the best you can do to fulfill the requirements of godly fatherhood. Why? Because you're important. You're a necessity. What you do matters. How you do it matters. If you're not there to do it, It will be seen and it will show. Why? Because you are important. You are important to your children. You're important to your home. And you're important in God's plan for the family. Now, if you're with me so far, just say, He is right. Now, that's not what you'll see in the modern society. That's not what you'll see portrayed in the TV shows and movies about the modern family. That's not what you'll see in the portrayal of the world live in absentia from the will of God. You will not see the importance of the Father. You will hear things like, I don't need no man to make me happy. And you know what? There's a little bit of biblical reality to that, ladies. You see, you were made to complete Adam. You were given to be a completor. In other words, Adam needed Eve probably a lot more than Eve needed Adam. Somebody, ladies, say amen. Studies show that women handle the loneliness factors, and often you'll see women that can be happier unmarried, and sometimes women can go through life if they've been widowed or and often not marry again. Men, on the other hand, require very much companionship. It's just how God wired us. Why? Well, some of you women have probably gotten into these conversations with your husband late at night. If something happened to me, who would you marry? That's where you men, if you're wise, will feel the need to go mow the lawn at 2 o'clock in the morning. I just forgot something I forgot to do out in the garage. Hold that thought. Oh, my goodness. There is some reality to some of that, and women are wired a little differently. But I want you to understand that, men, you're important. You're important to your wife. You're important to your children. You're important for the plan of God to be manifested in your home. You are important. Your role is necessary, and you need to be in that place. Now, I want to give you a second thought as I'm looking at fatherhood, a second fact here. A father is irreplaceable. Amen. Say that with me. A father is irreplaceable. Say it again.
A father is irreplaceable.
They're important, and therefore they're irreplaceable. It's a job that is best done by you. It must not be delegated. A lot of men will try to find other people to fulfill the responsibilities of their fatherhood. Maybe they'll look for it in a coach or a teacher or a youth leader, sometimes a out-of-the-house mentor, somebody that they'll try to delegate their responsibilities of raising their children to. Men, listen, you cannot delegate this. Anybody that does it besides you will not do it as good as you. This is one of those things that God gave to you. He entrusted you with it. He blessed you with it. And there is no one going to be able to be a father to your children better than you in God's plan. A father is irreplaceable. I praise the Lord for good stepfathers. And there's been a lot of people, even in this very room, that have been blessed by stepfathers and adopted fathers and people who stepped into a gap that was left there, possibly by a father who had passed away, or even by a father who simply just didn't see the importance of his role. There's some good men out there that have taken children and have loved them as they were their own and have stood in the gap and have tried to help raise children and be there for them. And there's been some good stepfathers in the world. But no one can do it better than a present, involved, godly father. Stats show the effect of the absent father. There's stats galore. Let me just throw a few of them at you quickly. Studies show that 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from a fatherless home. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, studies show, are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts, according to one study, points to a fatherless home. Catch this, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with displaced anger come from a fatherless home. 80% of all youths sitting in prison grew up in a fatherless home, an absentee father. Daughters of single parents. This is a brutal stat. I'm going to read it, though. Men, you pay attention. If you think your job's not important and that you are replaceable, listen to this stat. Daughters of single parents are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 164% more likely to have a premarital birth, and 92% more likely to dissolve their own marriages. 71% of teenage pregnancies are to children of single parents, a fatherless home. 18 million children live in single-parent homes in America today. 24 million children live without their biological father being involved in their life. Those are not positive stats, but it does point to something. Men, your job's important. It's important. It's worthy to be celebrated today. You're important. May not always seem like it, but you matter. And there's little eyes looking to you, and you are important to that little life, that you had to be there for that life to be created. If you had not been there and there had been another man, that life would be a different life. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Julian, Adriana, and Savannah are the genetic combination of Christy and me. If I had not been there or she had not been there, Savannah, Julian, and Adriana would not be here. Another life form would have been produced with me and another partner and her and another partner. Your child is the combination of you and your spouse. And your job's important. You had to be there for that child to exist. You had to be present for that life that's looking up at you to literally have life in it. And you're important, but you know what? That importance is irreplaceable. I'm saying, dads, you must take this serious. We must stop as a society feeling that the dad is optional, unimportant, non-essential to the development of a child and the well-being of a home. That is not God's plan. That is not God's biblical order. That is a secular way of looking at the home, and it does not work. There's young men in this room who are yet to be a father. And one day I'm praying that God will bless you with a wonderful lady. And some of you, that's going to require a lot of prayer. Timmy, I'm talking about you. Maybe some fasting along the way. Yeah, I told the teens on Friday night, let me tell you two words that'll help you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend as early as even tonight. Most of them raised their hand that they were all unattached. I said these two words are lowered expectations. Hey, listen, it worked for me. I am so glad. Now, hear me out. I am so glad that my wife lowered her expectations and I was able to just slip right in there, baby. Otherwise, I'd have had no chance. I'm just glad I was the only guy in the room that night. And I'm glad my wife wears glasses. Timmy, that may be what has to happen for you. You just, I don't know. But seriously, though, guys, many of you are yet to be married and you're yet to be a father. But one day, I may be the one that gets to pronounce you man and wife, and that'd be awesome. I would love that. And one day, I'll get to do for you as I've done others in this room, where I've got to go put my hand on their little baby, pray down a prayer of God's blessing on them. What a great joy. But guys, when that day comes, understand that it's one of the most important jobs in the world to be a dad. It's one of the greatest blessings you'll ever have. One of the greatest joys of your life. Man, you know, a lot of times you think that the greatest joys in your life are in high school, you know, playing basketball, football. In Christian's place, or Christian's situation, playing dress up. We're praying for you, buddy. Guys, I'm going to tell you something, man. I played for 3 state championship basketball teams in the 4 years I was in high school. And that was exciting. That was exciting. But I'm going to tell you, nothing could compare to that day that I stepped into a hospital room and the nurse handed me Savannah for the first time.
Amen.
I felt my legs turn to rubber.
Yeah. Yeah.
That joy, that excitement, that overwhelming feeling of being blessed. I've never felt anything like that. Amen. Until 5 years later when the doctor handed me Julian. And I thought, God has given me a son. God's given me a son. And it was already enough. Christy and I don't think my wife minds me sharing this, but we had a struggle getting pregnant after Savannah. In 5 years, we were praying for another child, and we had to reach a point of acceptance. Remember that night we talked about it? Where we just didn't know if God was going to give us another child. And we agreed that if God never gives us another child, giving us Savannah was the greatest gift. I don't want to start crying.
She is awesome.
She is awesome, isn't she?
She is.
We felt we were so blessed. And we both prayed together, God, if you don't do anything else, if this is our family, we're going to praise your name and be happy and feel like we're just blessed people. And then one day I came home from work and I saw something laying in the yard. I got out and looked, and it was a little tiny baby diaper. I looked about 3 foot up. There was another one. And another one. I'm walking to the house, and there was one on the walk going all the way up to the front door. I come up. I open up the door. I walk in, and the diapers led to my wife's feet. Little tiny diapers. She's standing there at the end of it with this goofy smile on her face. I stepped in the door, and she said, "Guess what?" Man, we jumped up and down, got excited. God answered our prayer. And then in due time, Julian came, the doctor, and I said, "Man, I've got a son. Somebody to play basketball with. Somebody to go hunting with. Somebody to teach how to tie the perfect fishing, you know, line on." God gave me not just a son, but gave me my best friend. Then, as though that wasn't enough, literally, and we weren't sure without medical help that we could even have a third child, but then just, I guess what, about 8 or 9 months after Julian was born, maybe a year and a half or so, I don't know, it was very quickly, I came home one day and Christy said to me, "I think I'm pregnant." There were no little diapers, there was kind of a look of panic in her eye. "I think I'm pregnant again." And sure enough, just a few months later, the wild thing came into our life. Adriana was born running. And she never stopped. She was always on the move. And for the third time, I felt that feeling. And there's nothing that I can give you in this life that will compare with that feeling. And I'm so glad it was a good day and a happy day. And I'm so thankful for getting to be a dad. And guys, listen to me. Some of you young men in the room, that day is still out there waiting for you. Let it be a blessed day. Let it be a blessed day. Guys, do it right. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Let him bring along the wife that he wants you to have. You know, I'm thankful. And I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. Not wanting to offend anybody at all what I'm about to say, but I'm glad for me and Christy that on that day that we told our parents that we were pregnant, it was a joyful day. It wasn't a day with my wife thinking, "What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this?" It wasn't a day that we were dreading. We couldn't wait to get with our parents and tell them. I hope that you get to experience that.
Amen.
And God has that for you.
That's right.
Young ladies in the room, God has that for you one day. And you want your child to be a blessing, not a burden. And I hope you'll do it in God's way and do it in God's plan. And I think everybody in the room, whether or not you got to have that or not, would at least say amen that it's better.
Amen.
If you'll do it right, great things, great day will come out of it. But guys, when this happens, now all you men, take a look at Spencer right now. See what's waiting for you. When it happens, take it serious. Realize that this is important. Realize that your presence is irreplaceable.
Yeah.
You are important to this thing. And God planned in His plan for the strengths of a mom and the separate strengths of a dad to work together to produce a well-trained and balanced child. Two people working as a team together, creating a child together and raising it together. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And I believe it takes the strengths of both to create a child that grows up in this world to be a balanced person. Listen to me. My mom taught me sensitivity. My dad taught me strength. My mom taught me how to be clean. But my dad taught me how to go out and get dirty. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I grew up with grease under my fingernails and dirt on my neck.
That's right.
My mom would say things like, there's enough dirt behind your ears to grow potatoes. My dad taught me how to go play in the dirt. I think every man should teach his boy where he came from.
Amen.
The dirt of this earth. That's where Adam was created from. Oh, mamas, let your boys get dirty. Don't be running around your son chasing him with a little handy wipe. Oh, no, he's got dirt on his fingers. Oh, don't go outside, son. You'll smell like outside. Any of you moms ever said that to your kids? You smell like outside? Listen, if your boy can go out and play in the yard and come in clean, he needs to go to some man class. Amen. My dad taught me how to get out there and get dirty. My mom taught me how to have manners. My dad taught me how to be a man. My mom taught me how to be respectful. My dad taught me how to be responsible. Mom taught me how to be intellectual. My dad taught me how to have integrity. And I needed both of them to be rounded. And I praise God that I saw the importance of a good mother and a good father in my life.
Amen.
Being a dad is so important. You must step up to it. You are crucial to your child's development, happiness, joy, and security as they grow on into latter years of their life. Now, lastly, being a father is often done incognito. Now, I'm going to have to explain this one a little bit. It's done incognito. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Men, listen to me. You're going to do a lot of things that are important, crucial. If you're not there, it goes undone. But it's also going to go unnoticed, unpraised, underappreciated, and often even misunderstood. Most people and things are appreciated the most when they are no longer there. Somebody said that most people hear the greatest and nicest words ever said about them 5 days after they die. Often it's then and only then that we understand their importance, what they brought, the roles and positions they filled. I remember an impacting thing that happened to me in my childhood. I remember when my grandfather died. My grandfather was an Arkansas farmer, grew up in a farmer's home, and he was in a long line of men that tilled the ground to take care of their family. He lived a life that was hard, but it never stopped him from enjoying his life. He laughed and he played, and he had much joy along the way of his life journey. My grandmother was an equally hard-working woman. And she pushed so hard for her family to prosper, spending long days out in the fields working shoulder to shoulder with my grandfather. And she did a lot of things to help them acquire their own properties, and she managed their finances in a way that helped them one day own and farm their own land, their own acreage. And she was very capable. My grandmother was struggling with Alzheimer's already when my grandfather died. It ended up taking away her memories, taking away her ability to respond and her ability to talk. But at this point, she was still coherent. But often in her mind, her memory would place her in a time period that was very vivid to her. For instance, often she would feed me breakfast four times in one morning, forgetting that she had already cooked a big breakfast. She'd go cook another one, and she'd call us back to the table. During the early stages, we started noticing things like this. But she could sit for hours and talk about things that happened back in 1938 in vivid memory and detail. Often she would exist in periods of time. And I'll never forget, as my grandmother sat there realizing that her husband of 60 plus years had just passed away. To her, it was 1944 or somewhere around that period where there's a crop that needs to be harvested, tractors that need to be driven, trucks that need to deliver to the market. And she sat there realizing Grandpa was gone. And I watched her as she began to rock back and forth, saying over and over, "Oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the crop out, son? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do without your dad?" And she kept going over and over. The importance now left void of her husband. Dads, there's going to be a day that all the incognito things you did to carry the burdens of the family, things that you just did, because that's what dads do. You got up every day and you went to work, sometimes in a thankless, unhappy job, and you sweat, and you hurt, and you got up with injury, and you got up sometimes and you worked when you didn't want to work. You wanted to go fishing, you wanted to go hunting, but duty called and you did it. And there was no party at the end of the day that celebrated your day's accomplishment. It was done incognito. Just another day of you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Character is often not celebrated. It's expected. No one praises the fruit tree for yielding its fruit. No one praises the dirt for yielding its vegetables and produce. No one ever stops and praises the clouds because they rain today. People rejoice for the green light while they curse the equally important red light. They're just things doing their jobs, often misunderstood, often not appreciated. And dads, you must work, you must provide, you must endure to produce for your family all the days of your life, because that is the order that God placed on Adam, and that Adam order transferred to us. And it will be much in secret, a private burden that you go to bed with each night and you rise to meet each morning. And much of what you do will be misunderstood, it'll be misapplied, and often unnoticed by your family. But the Bible says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And that joy is the great reward. I'll close with this. A prominent businessman was asked to speak to a group of men at a banquet honoring him as man of the year in their community. As he spake to the men, he shared an emotional account of his childhood that included him being born with a deformed leg. He shared of how his father was a man that was born in Germany and migrated to the United States with his parents just ahead of the Great War. He shared how his father was a stern man, a man of numbers and figures. He was an engineer with a brilliant mind and a spirit of toughness and a resolve that got him through some very hard times in his life. And then he shared that when his father saw that his boy was born with a deformed leg, and that the doctors had told him that I would never be able to run or play sports or walk as a normal man would walk. His heart was broken for me. He shared how his father watched me as I began to grow. And he saw me as I would crawl all over the house as a young toddler, unable to walk on this deformed leg very well. As he watched me crawling in the dirt, he said, my father said, this is unacceptable. No son of mine will spend his life crawling on the ground if I can help it. And he began to use his engineering mind to develop a box made of wood with levers and screws and panels inside it that would move according to the pressure of the screws as he would tighten them. He developed this box and all of its screws and levers inside it that would place great pressure and also the accompanying pain on the spots of my leg that were deformed. He came home after his engineering mind had created this thing, and he broke my leg. And then he placed my broken leg into a contraption, and he tightened it down. He shared how I screamed in pain, and I fought against him, but he prevailed, and he tightened the screws down on my deformed leg. And he said it became a ritual every Saturday, every 7 days. My father would come in and he would ask me to sit on the kitchen table where he would then undo all the screws and he'd pull that box off. Then he would take some measurements, write some things down, and then do, even with me protesting and not stopping due to my cries and my begging, no, he put the box back on my leg. And then he would take a ratchet and he would tighten it all down again. And I would cry and I would scream and I would tell him, it hurts, Daddy, it hurts. But he just kept tightening the screws. And he shared how I begged him to stop, but he kept putting the box on anyway. And he said, in due time, after about 8 or 9 months of this, he said, I grew to hate him. I hated him. And I dreaded him coming. And I dreaded him walking in the door. And when I saw him, I thought of him as a cruel man who didn't care about my feelings. And I dreaded his very presence. He said, today my father is long gone. But also today I can walk. I had a great childhood doing all the things that a healthy boy can do. I went on to have the tenacity to do great things, and today you honor me as man of the year. But I want to say that all I am and all that I have done is because I had a dad that loved me enough to turn those screws. Dads, listen to me. Keep turning the screws. Keep setting those rules. Keep giving those lectures. Keep showing up and going to work. Keep teaching those life lessons. Keep doing what it takes. It may be misunderstood today. And you may think that your kids hate you. And you may think that they aren't listening. That they don't understand you. But one day your child will say, thank God that I had a dad that loved me enough to turn some screws in my life. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dad, you're important. You're irreplaceable, and what you do is going to be incognito. It may take years before it's understood and even realized, but you keep at it because God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. There's two things that a father can do that are the most important thing as I'm closing this whole message out. Number one, most important thing that a man can do is to be saved. To know that Jesus dwells in his heart. The second most important thing that a man can do is love his children's mother. Love his children's mother. Let me ask you this, men. Have you done that most important thing? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Are you born again? With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask everybody in the room, if you died today and you stood before God, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you sure that you're saved? If you say, Pastor Riggs, I know for sure, I know I'm saved, I know it, would you just raise your hand? Man, I'm so glad that you have found salvation. What a blessing. You may lower your hands. Let me ask one last question. Is there anyone in the room that could say, Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus as my heavenly Father. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just going to pray for you. Just want you to come to grips with your need here. In a moment, I'm going to ask the church body to stand, and I'll be up front here. If there's anyone in the room that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven, it is my hope that you will come and let us help you. Dad's in the room. The job that you have is important, and you can't do it without God. Be in church. Be a student of the Bible. Be on your knees before the Lord in a devotion with Him. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. You can't do it without the Heavenly Father. Are you ready to come? Let's all stand together.